My name is Ethan Braden, and I serve as the new Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer here at Texas A&M University. I've been here since December 1st, and my family here of newfound Aggies have been living here for now for the last 6 weeks, and so we've come to really enjoy College Station and this Texas A&M community. But I came down here as a marketer with a quest, and get the chance to talk with you all about that a little bit today. So when it comes to a personal essence for me and why I'm here and why I thought this opportunity was so attractive, over the last 17 years, I've refined the notion that I am passionate and committed to building brands and teams that people love and trust. And the quest here, the mission here from General Welsh on down in the recruitment here is to give Texas A&M what it needs and it deserves. It's an unbelievable brand with an unbelievable sense of following and pride across our staff, our faculty, our students, and our 550,000 former students. But at times, I think we have an opportunity to refine the marketing engine, the marketing and communications engine here that is propelling that brand, particularly outside the state of Texas. So I'm going to walk you through a bit of a presentation relative to that vision and what we're changing early on to begin to realize that. So the first thing is a belief that we need a world-class central marketing and communications team from the very get-go that has an external lens and focus, that in conjunction with a university marketing communications community comprised of those units and those unit marketing communications teams, that together we can assemble an orchestra. And that we can assemble an orchestra that's playing a harmonious sound to the world as we tell the story of Texas A&M University to target audiences for the desired attention and affinity and demand that we all seem to want. And that we do that with purpose, that we do that with passion, that we do that with particular focus, and that we do that with expertise. Now, I've spent the last 5 years at Purdue University, and before that, 10 years at Eli Lilly and Company. And so have cut my teeth on what it takes to tell a story externally that gets noticed and creates demand as well as movement, action. So a few of the accolades here on the screen from just the last 5 years at Purdue, including a lot of recognition over the last few years as a brand, particularly with Fast Company magazine. And this was one of our favorites just this 2 years ago of being named the number one most innovative educational provider in the world by Fast Company magazine. But the reality is, I don't think there's anything here at Texas A&M that is lacking, or there's anything at Purdue necessarily that's special relative to what we have here. I came for what you see on the screen. It's the individuals like R.C. Slocum and others who just love this place. It is the talent that we have in our faculty and in our researchers. It's our students and all of their makeup that we heard Tracy speak about at the beginning of this that we have here on this incredible campus at scale who are special people. It's an incredibly strong brand, a recognized brand, one that is known for being practical yet innovative and decent and led by its core values, but making major dings in the universe on a daily basis. And then lastly, at least 50% of my decision to come here was led by General Welsh and his, you know, level 5 humble servant leadership in what he wants to do for this community and where he wants to take it. So I'm proud to be here. But the reality is I've worked with billion-dollar, you know, pharmaceutical brands, Purdue University, the federal government, et cetera. Great brands don't just happen. They're built deliberately over time on a clear positioning that owns a specific mind space in the audience mind, as well as a great story. And so I often show this video today. I'm just showing you the quotations. But Steve Jobs in 1997, when he returns to Apple, gives this incredible talk. And he says, marketing's about values. It's a complicated and noisy world, and we're not going to get a chance to get people to remember much about us. No company is. So we have to be really clear about what we want them to know about us. Again, 1997, 27 years ago, he's calling it complicated, right? And noisy. And it's Apple. And he goes on to say that every great brand and even a great brand needs investment and caring if it's going to retain its relevance and its vitality. And he closes the section that I often use, and he says that Apple spends a fortune on advertising and you'd never know it. You'd never know it. So what I've come to find in these last 4 months is the Texas A&M University, like so many land grants, like so many large public universities, like so many universities of the 4,000 or 5,000 out there today in the United States, we spend a significant amount of money on marketing communications, particularly FTEs annually. And I think the question I have for everyone right now is that we, as we hold up that mirror, do you notice it? Do you feel it? Are you satisfied with it? and do our target audiences? And so I use the dimming quote a lot of late, of just saying every system is perfectly designed to get the result that it does. And so if there's things that we're wanting, if there's things that we're lacking, then we need to look at that system and we need to do things differently. And we have a very clear charge from our leader. In December, during the State of the University address that General Welsh gave, he said that number four was to make Texas A&M a constant in the national conversation in a desired fashion. We can enter the national conversation in lots of ways. I'd prefer to be at it when we want to be, on our terms. And that's the craft, that's the expertise that we expect to bring here. And he noted that a great national institution requires a great national reputation. So that is true north for me as we rebuild and we transform this team to really focus on the external storytelling necessary, again, to draw the awareness, the understanding, the affinity, and the demand and the choice of the nation and the globe when they look down to College Station and see Texas A&M University. Now I'm confronted, and I was for 3 months as I stayed at the hotel, you know, as I'm commuting here, with a quotation out in front that makes it difficult, and it does, it's a headwind, quite frankly, and I know that may be poking the bear a bit, but this quotation of from the outside looking in, you can't understand it, and from the inside looking out, you can't explain it, is a headwind to great marketing. If we want the world to understand us, especially in the landscape of higher education today or research organizations, we have to deeply understand, and then we need to take that to the world and show them why they should care. And so I prefer this quotation. It's how a brand is delivered externally depends on how well it's understood internally. And it's our job to attract their affinity. If we don't, we leave our reputation. We leave demand. We leave the phone calls from Washington or industry partners or research partners or wherever it may be to chance. And we don't need that significant marketing communications community if we want to just leave that to chance. Now, I spoke about Purdue a little bit at the beginning, but the reality is I've found in a very short time that Texas A&M University itself lacks very little in terms of gaining that national attention it desires. This is an analysis that we just commissioned recently that looks at the share of volume and the share of engagement on earned as well as social media across all of 2023, looking at 15 research thematic areas benchmarked against relative peers and aspirants. And what you can see on the screen is that A&M is in the top top two on four of the categories in volume, and actually in the top seven in the categories relative to engagement. So already we're drawing attention here, but there may be areas here where you want more, right? There may be areas where we want more volume or engagement or both. So we're very lucky to have and very blessed to have you all and the folks that you work with and the things that we're doing on a daily basis with our students and our research. And it's time to tell that story with excellence and expertise. And to date, we just haven't focused on clearly telling our target audiences what Texas A&M stands for, what makes it distinct, and at the end of the day, why they should care, why they should give us their time and attention, which is limited. And we haven't prioritized expertly crafting that story or marketing it externally with excellence, or even aptly investing in it to ensure the audiences see and engage with it and feel this story amidst all of the other ways that their attention can be pulled. And lastly, we need to evolve some of the skill sets and the focus and the talent that comprise that community today of marketers and communicators. If we're going to win in this crowded and competitive space, we need folks who have those skill sets and understand the mission, but they're also on a mission to tell that story on behalf of Texas A&M University. And I think there is a secret sauce there. There's a giant opportunity there. There's a ton of clay to mold something very, very beautiful. And so when I talk about skill sets that we're lacking today, it's really in that expertise of brand strategists, of true brand marketers and managers, of folks who can concept an emotive story that will give you the goosebumps, that will give you the tears, that will give you the elation and do it visually, that can strategize the content and curate it in a way that the top can in this country, that we have science writers who are excellent in their craft. They know who our research experts are. They speak the lingo, they write with expertise, and they can pitch it with professionalism and effectiveness, so that we enter and stay in those desired national conversations. And we need more individuals who actually have national earned media connections, phone calls, relationships. So when I talk about what I'm adding, this is largely what's on the screen. As we think about the objective moving forward, our objective is to deliberately enchant target audiences with A&M's story and stories. And when I use that E word, I love it. Enchant is to rouse and attract ecstatic admiration and demand for something. Whether that's your research, your class, whether that's season tickets, whether that's coming to work at A&M, whether that's moving to College Station, whether that's attending, can't we agree that when we put something out in the marketing, in the space of marketing, that it's supposed to enchant? That's our job, to rouse and attract audiences to have ecstatic admiration and demand for what we offer. And in doing so, that's how we will build national attention. That's how we will build national understanding and affinity and choice and demand and loyalty. The marketing great Seth Godin says, if there is no choice, there is no brand. And there's lots of choice out in that marketplace right now. And in doing so, we're focused on that bigger and better national reputation. I love the word remarkable as well, being a remarkable brand or a brand worthy of one's remark. And one that's going to get the phone call, even in College Station, Texas, and being and remaining a constant in the desired national conversations that we seem to want. Now, I show this slide as well because I think this is very consistent with what I've seen across the higher education landscape. The amateurs, frankly, will get caught up in the logos, the taglines, the color palettes, the hashtags. But as Aaron says here, the best way actually to differentiate is to discover a compelling story that's true about your institution, but also makes sense and enchants the target market. Great stories will always beat great spreadsheets. And over the time that I've seen it as well, we've been very, very scattered in our attention. If we've got 15 priorities, we have none. And the reality is we've got to become more focused in what we tell the world, those two, three, four things that we really want to stand for with those enterprise target audiences, if they're going to remember one. It can't be 15. We can't be the giant Swiss Army knife of higher education in our marketing and our communications efforts. In fact, I'll challenge you on the right side here where it says useful. You know, when was the last time you opened a wine bottle with a Swiss Army knife? Now you used a wine opener. And when was the last time you cut your steak with a Swiss Army knife? For in these individual areas, whether it's cross-cutting attributes and characteristics of traits, or it's specific to our thematic areas of research, et cetera, we want to be the wine opener. We want to be the steak knife that gets that phone call of expertise and trust, of folks having confidence in our competence. So when it comes to marketing, we can't be a herd of cats running through a wind chime factory. No, we have to come together as an orchestra and tell a common story to the world with harmonious sound. And so let me hit for you with a few more slides here what's changing. One, our marketing communications focus will be external moving forward. I've heard the word customers or clients when it comes to marketing at Texas A&M before, and that's just not going to work moving forward. Texas A&M employees, if you have a badge, you're our colleague. And we sit on the same side of the table, enchanting external audiences with what you do and who you are. Our efforts will also be focused in respect of deliberately helping to create, change, or reinforce the desired attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors that we have with specific external target audiences if we want the reputation and the attention that we desire. And then lastly, as I've learned across Fortune 100 and higher education as well, great brands are built and managed globally and centrally. While the units then add subject matter expertise, the College of Pharmacy needs to understand their audiences deeply, and just as the College of Education, and then execute with some localization as the best form of them at Texas A&M University. So where's our focus? I've hit two of these already. Building a world-class central marketing team and a marketing and communications community of all of those units across the colleges, schools, and divisions that come together like an orchestra and play with purpose, passion, focus, and expertise. That when we do go out to the world with our tier one story and stories, that it's done with excellence and expertise and storytelling to enchant those target audiences, to have them look here and say, I get you, and I want what you have to offer. Number three, that we will prioritize and we'll ask, does this make the boat go faster? And if it's a random act of marketing, then it's something we need to say no to if it's not going to be the priority of driving our strategic initiatives at this point. We can't do what we've always done and expect a different outcome. And then lastly, as we earn it, to resource and invest those tactics accordingly. Every system's perfectly designed to get the results that it does. And if we want to break through, then resourcing and investing and earning that investment moving forward is what it's going to take. Now, what we've said is we've talked about roles and responsibilities. The role of the central team that I'm deliberately assembling is going to be focused on the positioning, the promoting, and protecting the university at its enterprise level, showcasing the best of the best, the cream of the crop, signature stories, and incredible individuals of Texas A&M, and then do some of the duties it owns today, such as undergraduate recruitment, marketing, and demand. But the other piece that's so key is that we have to help the entire environment get on the same song sheet and play that harmony I speak to. And so building a world-class distinct brand platform, again, who we are, what we stand for, and why the world should care, and then helping colleges, schools, units, divisions to localize and execute with a bevy of on-brand and in-character first-class professional resources to aid their efforts will be key as well. And at the same time, we need our unit teams to do the performing of specific value-adding, not random acts of marketing, value-adding local marketing communications duties. That means first that they understand that specific target audience incredibly well, that they manage internal unit-level communications, that they handle unit recognition efforts, that they oversee unit-level marketing and demand generation and yield for that matter, that they manage unit websites, and that they manage unit social media. Hopefully you're getting the trend there. Now, I use this as a final quotation, but I think it's important and it needs to hit us between the eyes. This is an investment. And Dave Gerhart here at Privy and formerly Drive talks about this idea. If I was starting my own business and I wanted to create $3 to $5 million in new pipeline of sales this year, but I believe that I can go out and hire an intern and one full-time marketer with basically no experience and pay them $70,000 and get there, it's not going to happen. Life's too short, to, as he says, to work for a CEO who doesn't get marketing. Everybody wants results. If you want to do the hard work to develop, change, create, reinforce the attitudes, beliefs, behaviors in this busy marketplace to win. Now, lastly, I want to show you a little bit of Blue Ocean here. Our central social team is excellent at what they do today. We've got 1.5 million individuals following us across the platforms that you see there today. Some pretty terrific results. But their content has incredible engagement. So as we use Rival IQ to compare peers here, you'll see that when they put a piece of content into the world, our followers, again, in that true Aggie spirit, follow it with affinity and love and care. We see that per post, and we see that in their total applause. So we've got a terrific team doing that job right now. The reality is we also have space for improvement. We have space for new opportunity, and the space is particularly in our video storytelling. So YouTube here matters. I hope that's not profound to anybody. It's the second most populated social media channel in the world, and 98% of Americans 15 years and up are using it at least once a month. It's a space we haven't exploited so far. We're not posting there with the same fervor and quality and excellence and understanding that our peers are. And so it's a completely new for us and an unexploited opportunity versus what we're seeing folks, being able to use the platform again to tell interested eyes over a minute to 10 minutes for that matter, who they are, what they stand for, and why they should care. So as a recap, the focus here is absolutely on the national conversation, the external target audiences, and telling a story of why I've come to this place, believing it is such a special place of Aggies working together, doing incredibly special things across the domains. It's a place the world needs to understand, have awareness of, affinity for, demand for, and loyalty to more than it does today. And so that's where we're going to channel our efforts and our people and our dollars moving forward. It's around helping Texas A&M have an even greater national reputation based on the storytelling that we do in justice to all of the things that you all and your colleagues and your peers and your students are doing on a daily basis. With that, I'll say thank you and take any questions that you might have.
And then Katrina, can you tell him why he doesn't get it? Yes.
Why he doesn't get what?
Well, he doesn't get, I don't know, like we're not for sale. I don't know.
I did have a question, actually.
Okay, go ahead, Katrina.
Thanks a bunch, Ethan. May I call you Ethan?
Of course, thank you.
Yes, thanks a bunch for your presentation. I actually love the analogy of storytelling and orchestra playing together. But maybe the faculty have a misunderstanding about what MarCom is. I noticed that you're focusing on externalities and you want the orchestra to be playing together to present this beautiful music to the external audience. But from a faculty perspective, I know you could hear a but coming there. From a faculty perspective, the orchestra doesn't doesn't play very well together. And so therefore the internal communication is broken. And we have no methodology for communicating with one another respectfully and in an official capacity, other than horrible listserv that Tracy referenced in the opening remarks. So have we got what Marcom does wrong? But who is tackling the internal communication for the university so that we can get on the same page and play the same music?
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. And it's also cannot be overlooked. And I apologize if I did it in that respect. As we transform, as we rethink who's doing what, there is a critical piece of internal communication. Some of that's blocking and tackling. Some of that's information sharing, but also some of that is entertaining. Some of that is engaging. And so I'm bullish that the group that we will assemble centrally, one, to think about the common airspace of which a lot of communication enters and needs to, again, be conducted like that conductor. But two, understanding Jack Baldoff's vision and needs, Alan Sam's vision and needs, et cetera. If we understand, as well as operations for that matter, so much of what you hear may be operational. I expect that we will have an excellent and expert internal communications team and mechanisms as well, to where you'll feel a difference in that space. It's sorely needed. It's an art as well as a science. It is a matter of prioritization as well. But I think it's incredibly helpful as we engage the base, as we engage the internal, who then also can be incredible evangelists for why Texas A&M is special and what it has going on as well. So enabling this entire group with effective communication is going to be key to mobilizing the storytelling that everyone is capable of doing moving forward. So I don't mean to undermine or understate the importance of internal communication. That piece of getting it right is key. And I've seen a few folks on our staff already who not only I think have an understanding of doing it well, but they have a passion for doing it well. And I like that a lot. I hope that you'll see that in the months to come.
I think we're passionate. We're very passionate. We're all on board, but we're not on the same page. So we play discordant music. And I just one final point is that communication from a faculty perspective is not about social media and YouTube. Sure. And that kind of thing. And we understand the need for that. Mm-hmm. And I did see a flash of one YouTube video that you had up there from Valerie Ballister, who happens to be my idol and mentor, talking about stuff. But internally, it's more than just social media and stuff. And we need a solution. And I'm happy to sit on anything that you want to pick faculty brains about. Thanks for sharing today.
Thank you. Tracy, you're on mute.
Do I go next?
Jorge, Senator Alvarado. Yes, you.
Thank you for your presentation. Very interesting approach. You know, given the fact that we have over 2,700 faculty members across the whole campus, how do you foresee channeling information, right? Are you going to ask your staff through departments to ask faculty members to provide information to, because faculty members sometimes don't have time to do things like that, right? So they have to teach, they have to do research, they have to work on papers. So how do you foresee your organization reaching out to us, reaching out to faculty to get the information you need to be able to tell the world all the great things that we do?
It's a good question. Thank you. Over 5 years at Purdue, what I saw was the mechanisms to do two things. One, or maybe it's a couple of things. One, we had an expert science writing staff who were deeply invested in knowing who the experts in spaces are, what their research is doing and the impact that they're having, who would be interested, and partnering with them to tell that in an effective way, depending on the journal or the output or the outlet of earned media, and having the relationships to connect that as well. So from the central standpoint, one, again, I go back to excellence and expertise. We need excellence and expertise in uniting and collaborating with faculty to tell the most mediable, the most in character, the most important stories that we have, to again enchant places that have lots of choice, look at the eclipse today and who's where in terms of what they're covering, right? But two, we've got 164 marketing and communications individuals, $9 million of individuals who just went back out into the colleges, units, and schools. Those units need to be excellent as well in their colleges, divisions, and schools in knowing what the key cream of the crop stories, researchers, graduate students, breakthroughs, whatever it may be in their college. They need to lift those up. They need to make those aware. They need to champion those in the community and with this central team to get the attention they deserve. Because at the end of the day, I then get to cherry pick to a certain extent where the great stories are and which is really going to drive reputation and our strategic initiatives. The better we know about those, the more we can do with them.
Good. Let me ask a second question and then I let others ask their questions. You mentioned something about targeted audiences. Are you responsible for reaching out to the citizens of Texas? Because I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there about what we do in higher education. I mean, I see myself as an agent of the state where my role is to educate students, not to indoctrinate them, not to teach them how to think, more like force them to think. but sometimes what happens, you know, we talk to all these external entities out there, you know, corporations, you know, agencies out there. But what about our own citizens? I mean, is that something that falls under your purview or responsibility to reach out
absolutely.
To the citizens of Texas?
Absolutely. Whether it's, you know, whether it's the young people who are going to come and their families of the future, whether it's our Texas businesses, whether it's our Texas local, state, regional, earned media and influencers, et cetera, all of those audiences can be potentially prioritized and focused upon. And I think over the last few years, the state has gotten from our team good attention. And we've got good relationships there. We've got good understanding of what they want. The storytelling can improve, again, as to what is Texas A&M? What does it stand for? What value does it hold? What difference is it making? And how big is that, right? Who are the players? Why are we special? Why are we distinct? It's a long-winded answer of saying the state is critical. What I'm hearing more and more, though, is the lack of awareness is in the other 49. And that we're going to need different mechanisms, different tactics, different strategies to grow that sort of appreciation outside of Texas as well. So it's not an or, it's definitely an and. And there's probably a little more muscle and understanding inside the state. But I understand your point of continuing to be very distinct as to what we are and dispelling with the misconceptions, I suppose, at times of what people have of either the university or higher education in general.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Clint, can we finish up with you and then we move on to our next?
I just wonder what the units are. I'm in the College of Agriculture and Life Science. We have AgriLife Research, AgriLife Extension, yep. And there's all sorts of push for those. Are they under your purview too or not?
We will collaborate. There's a lot of collaboration with those that have autonomy as they report up through the colleges. But at the end of the day, we're thinking about how that all comes together as an enterprise that's telling common audiences lots of individual things.
Angie?
There was a question in the chat. Decentralization of marketing and the return of employees to units is a great step forward, but I also know some employees are being terminated. What services are faculty members going to see changes in, and does Central Marcom have a schedule for when individual units need to get their Marcom units back to a functional level? If some units lag behind due to understaffing, it seems like it would be a problem for your orchestra.
Yeah.
Let's dispel with that terminate word, okay? So basically what we've done is push the reset button on decentralization. Anything that came into central marketing communications over the last two years has now been given back to the colleges, schools, and units at the present value of what came in. There's only one instance where during the period of the last 2 years, some hiring was performed without budget. And there was a few affected employees in that regard where we couldn't give them back because we couldn't give them back with money. And if the unit is not willing to fund them themselves, then they're in a bit of a limbo. We have a unique situation with a few folks in that space. And what we'll have is a really, I think, long runway for those individuals to be the competitive pool for the hiring that the colleges, schools do over the coming months, long before we have to think about what they would do outside of the university. So there is a schedule. It's been communicated to the marketing directors for all the schools colleges, units, et cetera. My central MarChem staff also knows that it takes us through this fiscal year, and we'll be communicating that more broadly in the days to come.